Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
In 2008, there was a new company that came on the scene with a product that made cloud storage easy and efficient. It was a solid product, promising future, but they had a problem. And their problem was, well, obviously at launch, they didn't have any users. And in order to get users or to get customers, you need to tell them about your product. In order to tell them about your product, you have to advertise, right? But that was their problem because for them to get a new acquisition or a new customer, it cost them about $230 in advertising dollars, and their users would sign on for a one-year contract for $99. So it didn't make any sense. And so Dropbox was left with a problem, and they had to come up with a solution to their problem, and they came up with a genius solution. And their solution and their strategy for marketing hinged on one idea, and that was that they believed that their product was so good that once customers tried it, not only would they love it, but they would tell other people about it because they would feel like they'd have to have it. So this idea gave birth to their strategy in the form of a viral referral program. And it worked like this. If you were a Dropbox user and you shared a link with a friend and that friend signed up, you would get 500 megabytes of extra storage in your cloud drive, and they would get 500 megabytes of storage in their cloud drive, or an extra. And the results from this strategy were astounding. At launch, they had 100,000 users, and 15 months later, they had 4 million users. That's a 3,900% growth. How many business owners would love to see a 3,900% growth in your business, right? That was, to say it was a success is a complete understatement. And all of that growth and all of that success, and how many of you have ever seen an ad for Dropbox before? Hardly any of us. I don't know if I've ever seen one. Essentially, they spent zero marketing dollars to get 3,900% growth within 15 months. It was basically digital word of mouth. And the idea, like I said again, is that age-old idea that if someone finds something great that would benefit others, they can't help but tell other people about it. Maybe you've seen that in your own life. Of course, Dropbox was just offering digital storage, but what we're celebrating today is infinitely greater. In just a few moments, we're going to see 18 individuals who have found something way better than cloud storage. They found the best news in all of history. News so great, they can't help but share it with you and with the world today. They have found new life in Jesus Christ, and we're going to celebrate that today. Amen. Give God a hand for that. But before we move into our baptism time this morning, I just want to take a couple of minutes and share some reasons why baptism is so significant to the followers of Jesus. And I think if, as we're going to start that conversation, obviously the first thing we need to recognize is the why behind baptism. Why do we do it? Well, we do it, number one, I think because Jesus commanded it. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we call it the Great Commission. It's one of the very last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he left them. And he said this. He said, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's exactly what we're going to do. I mean, verbatim, we will use that language today. Pastor Barry will be saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And where we get that language from is right here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. So why do we baptize? Jesus commanded it. Not only did Jesus command it, but he was an example of it. And we see examples of baptism all throughout the New Testament from the apostles and the disciples. And so the why is right there in Scripture, very plain. But I think when I think about things, I'm one of those people, and maybe your brain doesn't work this way, but I always want to know, where did this come from? You know, I find myself Googling words like, hey, where did this word come from? Or where did this phrase come from? I find myself doing that a lot. And I don't know if you're like that, but I get that way with baptism. Like, you know, we know like the why behind baptism, but where did baptism come from? Where did it start? And, you know, if we look back on it, if you look back on baptism and you think about it in a biblical sense, you think probably back to the ministry of John the Baptist. because that's the first time in the Bible that we see the word baptism mentioned. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus, the cousin of Jesus, and he came onto the scene and he started baptizing people. That's the first time that's ever mentioned in the New Testament. But even though he was doing that, and even though it was kind of a new thing, the idea of being immersed in water, especially for the with the idea of purification, was not a new concept to John's audience or to Jesus's audience. You see, the Jews had this ritual purification ceremony where they would be, where they were commanded to immerse themselves in water, and it got to the point in by the time Jesus came on the scene that it was it had a name, and they called it mikveh. And the word mikveh is actually a word that's literally translated like a gathering of water, so like a pool, basically. And by the time that Jesus came on the scene, this idea of mikveh had evolved to the point where in the synagogues, their local churches, they had created these special rooms with special pools called the mikveh. And so the mikveh was a noun because it was a place, but it was also a verb because it was something you would do. My wife, when she was, she's working through her biblical studies major right now, and she wrote a paper on the baptism in the New Testament, and she connected this idea of baptism to the ancient practice, or the practice, the Old Testament practice of mikveh, and I had never seen that before until I read her paper, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes complete sense. So that there's this thing called mikveh, and then, you know, so the Jews, they had a reference point, like they would immerse themselves in water, but mikveh was quite a bit, even though there's some similarities, there's also some contrasts and some differences between mikveh and baptism. And so that's kind of where I want to hang my hat a little bit this morning. And we're not going to sit on this long, but, you know, we're going to get to the stories of God's life-changing power, which is so exciting. And that's what we're here for this morning. But I want to share with you just a little bit this morning the word. And I want to share with you a little bit about how the baptism is just, it's likened to mikveh, but it's different in the sense that, well, number one, baptism is once and for all. Nowhere in Scripture do we need to be baptized for cleansing. So mikveh was a time of cleansing, of purification. And Jewish men and Jewish women, for example, they would have different times in their lives where they would have to mikveh. So a Jewish woman, for example, after she gave birth, was commanded to be purified through mikveh. Jewish men who wanted to go into the temple had to mikveh before they went into the temple. Jewish men and women who touched anything dead would have to mikveh. So there were certain times in their life where they would do, a Jewish man or woman would mikveh many times throughout their life. It was something that had to continue to go. But baptism is a once and for all. Because like I was starting to say, the waters of baptism do not cleanse us. Jesus Christ cleanses us. And it's a one-time, one-and-done, once-and-for-all salvation that he offers us. Hebrews 10:14 says it well. Paul said, by a single offering, he, being Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So Jesus, in his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and our acceptance of that fact and the fact that we give our lives to him, that is a one-time event that happens in our life. And baptism is not salvation. It doesn't make us right before God, but it's a public confession of what we've already done in our lives. So what you're going to see this morning is not salvation. It's not saving anybody. It's rather them saying, hey, I've already done this, and Jesus has already done the work. They've already said yes to Jesus. They've already given the controls of their lives over to him, and they're following him. And this is just a representation or a way of saying, hey, I've already made that choice, and I've done it. In the Old Testament, God's people trying to earn salvation by doing the things commanded in the law. And I think partially God gave them those rules so that they would learn, hey, we can't do this on our own. And mikveh is a perfect example of that because they would have to be cleansed. But baptism is a once, one and done, once and for all, symbolizing that Jesus has taken care of it once and for all, our sin problem. Number two, unlike mikveh, baptism is an adoption into a community. Where mikveh was done by you and you alone, so in mikveh, you would go into a secret chamber, a private place, and you would do the immersion, and you would do the cleansing on your own. Baptism, on the other hand, is administered by another believer. We see that all through Scripture. John baptized, the Bible says. Jesus baptized, the Bible says. The apostles, Paul and Philip baptized. And so just the fact that another believer is invited into the process makes it this baptism into community right away off the bat. Ephesians 4, 4 through 5 says it this way. There is one body and one spirit. The body that this is talking about is the body of Christ. That's us. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So when you see them, when you see baptism this morning, it's not going to be just people dunking themselves. It's going to be Pastor Barry dunking them. And believers baptize believers. It's a symbol, I believe, of community. Jesus made sure it was that way so that we know we're baptized into the body. So this morning, when you're baptized into the family of this church. Whether you like us or whether you don't, you're baptized in the family of the church this morning. How many of you have some people in your family that you like? Wow. Took you a while to raise hand. How many of you have some people in your family you don't like? You can just let the people around you figure that one out, who you're talking about. Lastly this morning, baptism, unlike mikveh, is a confession. Mikveh is a highly personal, I kind of touched on this, it was a highly personal, highly private ceremony held in an indoor pool. But baptism, on the other hand, especially in Jesus' day, was out in the open for the community to see. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 21, it says this, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls." And this is the very first Christian, like, mass baptism service that we see in the New Testament. So if we use logic and we follow the scriptural pattern that we see up until that point, we can probably deduce from the scripture that there was a river or a lake that 3,000 plus people, believers, got around, and they probably waited in line because it says they were baptized that day that they said yes to Jesus. And so there was a mass crowd of people, and they were getting baptized probably one by one by one by one by one. That was a long day, I'm sure, for somebody. But it was this idea that they're saying yes to Jesus and they're letting the world know about it out in community or out in the community. And those were mostly believers probably on that day. But the great thing about baptism is it's a way of letting the world know that we have this life, about the life-changing power of Jesus, and to really make God famous through our stories. Many baptisms at that time would have been places like public water sources, like I said, like rivers and lakes. And what was great about that is that it was at the crossroads of communities. That's where everybody had to go to wash their clothes. It's where people had to go to get water sometimes. They would come to these places. And so when you got baptized in those days, you were out in the community. Like, the town knew about it. They knew that you said yes to Jesus. It was a public witness that you had said yes to Jesus. Now, unfortunately, in some ways, we've lost that ability today because, you know, we have indoor baptismal tanks and, you know, like today it's an indoor ceremony. However, like we always tell our baptism candidates, we want to continue to make it a public confession of our faith. So we always encourage them to invite people, and maybe that's why you're here this morning. You're invited to see the power of Jesus on display this morning. And we have live streaming, so we say, hey, share the live stream with your friends and with your family, with people that are influential that you go to work with or that you go to school with. Then they can see what Jesus has done in your life. It becomes that public confession of Jesus. It becomes that way of saying, hey, I found something great. I want to share it with you.